making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for being with us today at Abounding Grace. As you know, this week we've been working through Romans chapter 1 in a study on the wrath of God. And this has been a very detailed and complex and in some ways difficult study because it goes against our nature in so many ways to consider this subject. We don't like to be told this. It is foreign to us. We have only heard a message today that God is love, and so to think about the fact that God is also wrath is something that is easily rejected and just sort of ignored. But Paul didn't do that. He knew that sinners, the greatest issue before sinners was a right relationship with the Lord. It wasn't about bad habits. It wasn't about all the ways and approaches to ministry we're seeing today. It was about this fundamental issue that sinners are under the wrath of God and they need to be saved. Ask someone today what it means to be saved and they don't even know what to be saved from because we've neglected this issue, from the wrath of God against sinners. And so here in Romans chapter 1:18, the apostle Paul begins his book, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." We looked at this yesterday. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Notice that language there. So the creation of the world renders unbelieving man without excuse, Paul says, just by the things that are seen and understood by the things that are made, where they are able even to see in some way his eternal power and Godhead, it renders the whole unbelieving world without excuse. And then it says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." Now, we left off yesterday by saying that if creation itself is sufficient to condemn if they do not follow its nature's leading as they could and should do and seek out the true God so revealed. And when I was a teacher, this was always the point of contention. My students would ask me in Bible class every year, "Well, what about that poor tribesman somewhere in the far east corner of the world that never gets to hear the gospel? Are you saying they're going to go be condemned because they don't have the Bible and the message of Christ?" And we would always go back to Romans 1, and that's such an important question, isn't it? When you look at what Paul's saying here, I would ask them, "Well, what is Paul saying?" Well, clearly they all agreed. Paul is saying, under the inspiration of the Spirit, that the tribesmen can look at creation and have some knowledge of God, enough to render them without excuse, right? And they would agree, because Paul says that. The creation of the world, these things being clearly seen, his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, being, he says, understood by the things that are made. It states that. They would agree. Then I would ask, what does God say they do with that knowledge? He says what? They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Essentially, they suppress that knowledge, he says. They push it down. And so verse 29 says this, "Nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." That's what they do with that knowledge. A darkening process. Now, what should the unbelieving world do just by creation? This grand theater into which we are all born into and are able to. Right now, I'm looking out of my study and the sunshine is shining and the trees are all around me. The grass is green. Everything is beautiful. The birds are in the air. All manner of insects and animals. Everything is beautiful. What should we do? Well, the natural man should take that knowledge revealed in general revelation and seek for the true and living God. They should worship him. They should give thanks to him. But he can't. The real reality is that man, though he is incurably religious, the fact is that by nature, lives to escape the true and the living God, and immediately suppresses anything that creation speaks of. And so he does not worship God, and he does not give thanks, says Paul. These, of course, are the reason why we were created in the first place, to worship God, to glorify him, to know him, to live in thanksgiving to him as our creator. But what happens instead? Well, what does he say here in verse 22? Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. So he says a great exchange occurs. The fool in his heart, suppressing the truth revealed around him, says, "There is no God," Psalm 14. And what does he do instead? Well, he begins to worship the creature rather than the creator who is forever blessed. We read this. He exchanges God's glory and refashions God in his own mind and image into an image made like what? Corruptible man, he says. By the way, that is essentially what provoked God's wrath to fullness with the children of Israel in the wilderness, wasn't it? They did what? They made a golden calf. They didn't just make a calf. What did they say about the calf? "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt," and they worshiped it. They held it up and said, this is the God who brought you out of Egypt, a calf. They had made it into an image. And what do? We always exchange the glory that should be given to God and instead give devotion to the things of his creation. We worship these things rather than God. I'll never forget in college, I experienced this firsthand. There was a woman codenamed Butterfly. She was all over MTV and all over the news. And in Humboldt County, for over a year to protest the logging company, she lived at the top of the redwood tree. She spoke of being united with the tree and spirit and her devotion to it, and even spoke of being married to it. Now, we laugh at this, and people probably call her a nut. I don't know. But this exchanging of God's glory, suppressing the truth, is happening all around us. And we do it with our belongings, and we do it with things that should be used to glorify him, and instead, we worship those things. The natural response, of course, is something like 1 Chronicles 29, the natural response of what we should be doing. "Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, 'Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all, and your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name.'" Now, here's the challenge. Are we thankful? Do we glorify the God of heaven and earth? The word for thankful here is Eucharisto. That's the thankful element of the Lord's Supper. And that's what the Lord's Supper is about, being thankful for what Christ has done in nourishing our souls. Do we live glorifying him? See, what the passage is presently revealing to us is that God's wrath is being kindled and exercised against people who are living against him and who do not glorify him and who have exchanged his glory and worship the creature rather than the creator who is forever blessed. Amen. And think about this. The world is held accountable just with natural revelation. Explain that. How much more then are we accountable? Natural revelation being everything around them. By what they see, they are held accountable. How much more is the Christian then and should be giving most diligent heed to the things that he has heard, lest he drift away, as Hebrews says. We are much more accountable, for we've been told the only way by which we may be saved. God sends in this country and around the world heralds. Heralds preach good news week after week to proclaim his special revelation that tells you of Jesus Christ, the only message by which you can be saved. And today we have tapes, we have CDs, we have radios, we have multiple Bibles on our shelves, we have Christian education, we have everything under the sun that is a revelation of God's special revelation and who Jesus Christ is, the way that sinners can be saved. How much more horrible when we have all these things in America and still reject the living God. How much worse is it to have his special revelation in your hands and suppress that? Oh, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, who hold down the truth. If that be the case, well then, if you are a child of God today who has been given special care from God to be trained and nourished on the words of life, give your life to worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. Glorify Him. Be thankful in what you say and do. This is what you were created for, and that can only be when you are in Jesus Christ, the only one who brings us into the truth. If you are not in Jesus today, remember this. Soon you will stand before your Maker. And you will have to give an account. Everything that you saw and enjoyed, all the creation around you and your own conscience, which pricked your conscience that told you that things were wrong, will all be held against you and you will be without excuse, Paul says. So if that be the case, flee to Jesus. You are being proclaimed today. He is being proclaimed today as the only way, truth, and life. Flee to Him and you will know God's special revelation and the way of escape. May we with fear and trembling adore and thank Him today for rescuing us from our sins and His wrath that was so great that He poured it out on His Son. And may that love compel us to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. That is our conviction, to preach Christ in season and out of season, to open and exposit the Word of God. Currently, in the mornings, we are going through the book of Genesis, and in the evenings, the book of Romans, working verse by verse through these books and showing Jesus from all of Scripture and showing sinners the only way of return from falling into sin and being under the wrath of God. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for joining us. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.